Over the last little while, we've been looking at growing in our faith and the things that help us see that we are growing. So we've looked at things like a greater openness to God's Word, a deeper desire to worship. We've looked at all these sort of things that mark the fact that we're growing in our faith. I want us over these few weeks to come to look at, well, how do we actually grow? So if those are the things that tell us that, yes, I am growing, how do we actually grow? And I'm really grateful that Alistair and Isaac over these past couple of weeks have continued on with that theme of growing in our faith. So how do we grow? And I'm sure if I was to ask, you know, how do you grow in your faith? How do you grow as a Christian? We would have lots of different answers. Read our Bibles, we pray, we come to church, we serve God in different ways, we worship together, we have fellowship with other Christians. We could go through that list of these are the things we need to do to grow, and they are all vital things. They're important that we come to grow in our faith, and all these things play a part. But we need to be so careful, because it's so easy just to draw up a checklist. A checklist that says, I've read a bit of my Bible, tick. I've said my prayers, tick. I went to church on Sunday, tick. I met up and had a cup of tea with another Christian, tick. And we go through and we tick them all and we think, yes, I've done it. I've done it. And it becomes what I do. It becomes what I do. Aren't I really good? I've read a chapter of the Bible this morning. Aren't I really good? I went to church twice last Sunday. Aren't I really good? I spend 20 minutes every morning praying. Aren't I? And it becomes about me. It becomes about me. And we end up fooling ourselves that our relationship with God depends on how well we perform. So if you do everything right, you tick all the right boxes, you do everything as well as you can, then obviously God will love you. Of course he will. Why wouldn't he? Look at all those boxes you've ticked. Look at how wonderful you've been reading your Bible and praying and going to church and having fellowship and serving God. You've done all those wonderful things. Why wouldn't God love you? It works the other way. We get it into our heads that if I don't read enough of the Bible, then God won't love me as much as he has. If I don't spend time in prayer, then how could God love me? If I don't go to church every Sunday, how could God love me? And we start to beat ourselves up over this, and we get pulled backwards and forwards. Sometimes we're great, sometimes we're awful. Some years ago, I used to enjoy going to the swimming pool and just swimming lengths, up and down. And I can remember going up and down, and there was a guy in the lane beside me, and I kept lapping him. I thought, yes, Olympics, here I come. Until this guy in the lane outside me went past me like a torpedo. And I thought, no, maybe he'd leave the Olympics for a while. My performance. I'm doing really well. God must really love me. Or, you know what, I'm not doing so great. God couldn't possibly love me as much as he has in the past. And it starts to become all about me. It starts to become all about how I'm getting on, how I'm performing, how I'm doing. And it's part of the world that we live in. Most of us, many of us, have appraisals in whatever area of work we're in. People check to see, how are you getting on? There's even performance-related pay and bonuses and all the rest of those things that depends on how you perform. And we carry that thinking over into our relationship with God. It depends on how I perform. And so it becomes the way that I grow is to work hard at my faith. The way that I grow is to work so hard that God will have to love me. That's how I grow. Sometimes you see it in children. Children who just want to win the approval of their parents. And they will do absolutely anything just to hear their parents say, "Well done. That was really good." And they'll even do things that they're not all that keen on doing. I can think of many young people who did really well at school, who went off to university to do subjects that they had absolutely no interest in doing, but they did it because my mom and dad will be so pleased. We put awful pressure sometimes on our children, on each other, to win approval. And we carry that over into our relationship with God, and it's just so sad. It's so sad when we tick boxes simply to try to win the approval of our Heavenly Father. The Bible is clear. Here's a verse that we all know from Ephesians. The Bible says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Interesting. By grace you've been saved. It's by God's grace you've been saved. Not by your own works, not by your own endeavor, not by ticking all the right boxes. You won God's approval simply because he loved you enough to give his only son for you. So we don't have to go through this exercise of ticking a box to win God's approval. Grace means that God knows we haven't won his approval, we can't win his approval, and yet he loves us enough to give Jesus for us, even while we're still in our sin. That's grace. Can I invite you to turn to this passage in Titus chapter 2, and as Hilary says, one of those very small little letters in the New Testament, sometimes hard to find it. It's on page 1198 of the Pew Bible. Titus chapter 2. Paul is writing to this young man, Titus. Paul refers to him as a son in the faith. Paul has been instrumental in bringing him to the saving faith in Jesus Christ, and Paul sees him as someone that he's training and encouraging. And verse 11, Paul says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." That's just what we've been talking about. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Again, it's that undeserved love that God has shown us in Jesus. We were still sinners, we were still enemies of God. And yet, he sent Jesus to die for us. Not our achievements, not our religious acts, but God's grace. But here's the interesting thing. Paul then goes on to say, verse 12, God's grace. God's grace teaches us to say no to all ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Same grace. Saved by the grace of God. But here Paul says also, it's not just back then. The grace of God teaches you, shapes you, molds you, helps you to say no to those things which are wrong, but helps you to say yes to those things which are good. Sometimes within church circles, we talk about being saved by grace. That was back then. But it's as though that's just back then. We can draw a curtain over that. But the Bible is very clear that day by day we are dependent not on this box-ticking exercise, not some sort of legalistic approach that says I must do this, I must do that. We are dependent on the very grace of God to grow day by day. The same grace which saved us, instructs us, so that our salvation produces these good works. We start with grace and we're kept going, growing by that same grace. Now, when we talk about teaching, sometimes we're simply thinking about imparting information, giving information. When the Bible talks about teaching, it's much, much more than that. It's about instruction. It's about encouragement. It's about correction. It's about discipline. It's about all those things. And when Paul says that the grace of God teaches us, that's what he's saying. The very grace of God not only helps us to know these things, but encourages us. The very grace of God instructs us, corrects us, disciplines us. We grow in the grace. So we don't do all these things, Bible reading and praying and worshiping and serving and fellowship, well, all these other things. We don't do all these things to seek God's attention. We do these things in response to His grace. I heard a lovely story when I was away about a man who went in on his own to have a meal in a restaurant. He's in the restaurant, he sits at the table, and the table beside him, there's a lady sitting there on her own, and they have their meals, and halfway through the meal, she sneezes violently, and her glass eye pops out and shoots in front of him, and he instantly grabs it, quietly hands it back. It's popped back in, and there's that awkward embarrassment, that sort of, do we talk about this or not, you know, you can imagine. But eventually she said, do you want to come and join me at the table? So he joined her at the table and they had a lovely meal together and they talked together and she's just lovely to him. And at the end of the evening, he said, you know what, I've had a lovely evening, really nice evening. Are you this nice to everyone you meet? And she said, no, you were the only one that caught my eye. No. Just appeal to my warped sense of humor, I don't know. You're the one that's caught God's eye. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to tick a box. You have caught His eye already. You have His approval. He has given you His Son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing else you can do in terms of ticking boxes to win the approval of God, to catch His eye. He loves you more than you can imagine. And you are secure in that love. And you grow in that love. So we read our Bibles, not so that we can say, read that. We read our Bibles because we just want to know more of this God who shows us amazing grace in Jesus Christ. It becomes a hunger. It's not a box-ticking thing. It's not a duty. It's not a chore. It's a delight because we want to grow in our relationship with Him. So we spend time in prayer, not because that's what we have to do, but because we just want to spend time with our loving Heavenly Father. We want to be in the very presence of God, and we do that, not because we have to, but because we already have His attention. And on it goes. We grow in the grace of God. So I've thought about this morning, there are two things have gone through my head, this whole thing of teaching. One is this. If you talk to anybody who teaches or trains or coaches or mentors and ask them, what is it that you want in somebody that you're teaching or training or coaching? One of the first things they'll say is simply to be teachable, to be teachable, to be open. Now, we're talking about the open. This is the open, being open to God, being teachable. It's quite possible to have an attitude when you go to be taught or to be trained or to be coached, I don't know what I'm doing here because I know it all. Don't know why they sent me in this course, you know. I know it all. And if that's the case, forget it. Being teachable, being open. Recognizing that we have so much, not just to learn, but to live in God. And His grace. So one of those things that's been going around my head has just been this openness, this being teachable. The other thing is the whole thing of lifelong learning. Lifelong learning. You know, we all say, you learn something new every day. Immersed in God's grace, there is always something new to learn of God and to be in God and to be instructed in God, to be disciplined in God, to be encouraged in God. There's always something new. It will never come to an end this side of heaven. Being open, being teachable, lifelong learning. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we grow? We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sets us free. It's not about what I do. It's about what God does. Doesn't mean I don't have responsibilities. Doesn't mean I don't have to work at it. But it means that, hey, it's not about me. It's about God and His grace. For God wants you to grow. God wants you to change. God wants you to be transformed, so that the glory goes to Him in your life and in mine. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us that sometimes we can fool ourselves into thinking that life is all about us, that we're the center, that the world revolves around us. Forgive us. And by your grace, help us to know and experience all that you have for us in Jesus Christ. And to you, Lord, be all honor and glory. Amen. The band are going to lead us as we sing. We're going to sing first.